I like to think of myself as a frugal person, but I'm willing to acknowledge that there are times where that frugality crosses the line into what might be called stinginess, right? There's a fine line there. And one of these areas where I may cross over that line is when it comes to windshield wiper fluid. I'm a rather stingy user of windshield wiper fluid. I can drive for miles and miles. As long as I can see the car in front of me, green, red, I'm good to go. And I will drive for miles and not even realize that film, that hazy film that's covering the windshield. Now, Lauren, on the other hand, is what you might call a bit of a liberal when it comes to windshield wiper fluid, so she's not here, so... But she will say, after we've been, if we're driving together and after we've gone a few miles with this film and this haze, yeah, sorry, this haze, she will say gently and kindly, always, John, would you use some windshield wiper fluid? And I will. And invariably, you know this feeling. When I use it, there's that moment where you're just like, wow. What a beautiful world we live in. There's colors, all these things I wasn't even aware of before. Why didn't I do this sooner? Why was I going with my view of this beautiful thing obscured and filmed and hazed over? Humanity has had this kind of haze, this filmy thing over us since Genesis 3. When our ancestors, like us, said, we trust ourselves more than we trust God. We want our kingdom to come and our will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we turned and walked our own way, it was like this hazy film kind of began to build up where our understanding, our view of God and his love and trustworthiness was distorted and obscured. And even when God chose a people to know and see him and to show and shine his light to the world, there was still, and in the temple, there was this image of the curtain between the holy God and the people who still trusted in themselves. And after a while, those people were brought to an experience of exile. And it was kind of like a physical, historical image of their relationship with God. They were taken away from their temple and their land and their home. And it was a symbol of their own distance, an exile from that relationship with God that they'd chosen. See, since Genesis 3, there has been some sense in which the fullness of God's glory and kingdom have not been known or realized in God's creation. We don't have to look far to see this. This is what sin is. It is ignorance and disobedience and idolatry and addiction. It's twisted minds and broken families and corrupted societies, all of which obscure God's glory and beauty and the will of God for humanity, who we are and who we are called to be in this world. Sin is what caused the Gentiles to walk in darkness and the Jews to experience the haze of exile. And that's some historical context as we look at Jesus and the coming of Jesus, but what about your experience of God? How often do you feel like you live in the presence of the holy God that made Moses take off his sandals, and the disciples to take up their crosses, and the saints to take on the forces of evil in this world? How often do you live in that presence that moves you in that way? Most of us understand the exile, the context into which Jesus came, darkness, that haze and curtain separating us from the fullness of God. until you have this moment, where this definitive inbreaking of God, where he breaks through that haze and circumvents that curtain and shows up in the person of Jesus. And surrounding this whole inbreaking moment is this one phrase, the forgiveness of sins. And so as we begin the series on forgiveness, the reason I've kind of given some context for the coming of Jesus is because we need some context for what forgiveness is. In my time here, one of the questions that keeps popping up, surprisingly to me, is this question of forgiveness. What is it? How do I do it? Do I have to do it? What does that look like? And I think we have a lot of misconceptions in the church and in society about what forgiveness is. And so we're going to take this Sunday, as we begin to look at forgiveness, to put it in context. Now, I think most of us would think that forgiveness is central to the gospel. And it is. It comes up over and over again, and Luke just brings it out in the biggest moments of the story he's telling about Jesus. Zechariah, as he is awaiting the birth of his son, John the Baptist, he says, "You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins." And as we saw, John comes, and he went and proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And if we skip ahead, after Jesus is raised from the dead and before he ascends, again, he gives the disciples their mission, their purpose, their commission. He says, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And then in the sequel, in Acts 2, on Pentecost, so another big day, right? Peter proclaims the gospel, says, "This is who Jesus is." And the people say, "What should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And as the disciples go out and are proclaiming this message, they stick to that script. Before the high priest and the council, John and Peter and some of the apostles are being persecuted, and they're said, "You know, you aren't supposed to be saying these things." And Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Right? And that's not to mention that in Matthew, at least, in the Last Supper, what do we say? This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So all of these major moments, this phrase comes up. It is central to the gospel. But it is not the solitary expression of the gospel. Did you notice a pattern? As I read through those scriptures, forgiveness of sins, but there was another word that kept coming up over and over again. Anyone notice? Repentance. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And this word repentance, which means to turn in the Hebrew, really, to turn, or in the Greek, to change one's mind. This word gives us a context a little bit for what that phrase, forgiveness of sins, means. And it was a phrase that when the people of Israel heard it, what they understood was that God was clearing that haze that caused the exile. It was their sins that had caused them to be exiled and their temple to be destroyed and to be dispersed into the world. And so it's the forgiveness of sins, then, that allows them to return. You see, their idolatry and injustice and lack of faith had distorted their own experience of God, and as such, it had also derailed their vocation. What was their vocation? It was to shine the light of God to the world, to all the nations. But in their inability to understand God, they were unable to then reveal God to the world. And so, Jesus comes. You following along here? Jesus comes to bring forgiveness of sins, which means that Israel can return. They can be again near to God. And Jesus came to fulfill their vocation, to reveal God to the world. Reversing the effects of the exile, that haze, that separation, that distance and distortion, the forgiveness of sins is like washing that windshield where we can see God again in the fullness of God's glory and beauty and love in Jesus, and in whom we can fulfill then our vocation to image God and represent God to the world. N.T. Wright says, the forgiveness of sins was a huge, life-changing, world-changing reality, long promised and long awaited. It was the fulfillment of Israel's hopes for restoration, coupled with the sense that when Israel was restored, this would somehow generate a new day for the whole human race. So why repentance then? What does repentance have to do with this? Well, I got some pictures up here. Because what I'm about to say, I want you to follow along. Why repentance? True biblical forgiveness comes from the heart of God and is a reflection from God's heart. God doesn't forgive because God has to, simply because that's who God is. And God's heart is embodied by Jesus. Repentance means that we turn towards God's heart as we turn towards Jesus. And once we've turned, the forgiveness of sins means we can enter into God's heart. The barrier is taken away. That haze is washed off. The curtain is torn. And in God's heart, then, what we find is an ultimate desire that all creation would know its creator, and thus live in the fullness of God's glory and joy. Repentance and forgiveness draw us into God's great passion to transform and renew all things. Forgiveness of sins, then, if we understand the context of repentance and all of these things we've talked about, forgiveness of sins is not primarily about getting into heaven when we die. Right? That is not what Jesus or John or the apostles talk about in conjunction with forgiveness. They talk about repentance now, as Jesus is encountered now and proclaimed. Back to Luke 3. When John comes with this, talking about this baptism of repentance for forgiveness, and the people say, what should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise. The tax collectors, what should we do? Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers, what should we do? Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. Do you see what's happening? He's saying right now this transforms everything about how we live in this world together. Forgiveness, where I stay way over here and God is over there and I just trust that one day I'll be with God. That's a forgiveness out of the context of repentance, where I turn towards and enter into the heart of God. The forgiveness of sins is all wrapped up in the whole project that God is doing of establishing the fullness of his kingdom and doing of his will on earth as it is in heaven. Forgiveness is the washing away of the haze that keeps us from seeing clearly the God who is love, the God who took on a cross to tear apart the curtain that keeps us from experiencing the transforming love and power of God in our lives and in the world today. As we ask then this season the questions about forgiveness that we have, We have questions about God's forgiveness for us and our forgiveness towards others and how that all works. We must start by considering forgiveness in its proper context. When God declares you forgiven by the cross, by the blood of Jesus, that means you have a life-altering opportunity to see more clearly the glory and goodness and love of God. And you have been invited right now to live into the fullness of life that God made you for. Forgiveness is a part of that ultimate desire of God. And then when we consider our practice, our own practice of forgiveness for others, we realize that it's not just something we need to do so we can feel better or so the other person can feel better. You see, in the context of repentance and this whole transformation, forgiveness can never be just an enabling of bad behavior or pretending like nothing ever happened. Forgiveness is wrapped up in repentance. It is the opportunity to see God clearly, for people to see one another in our humanity, and to make space for God's power to transform and renew us, and through us, the world. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, as we hear the declaration that we have been forgiven through Jesus, may we hear that as an invitation to draw near, to enter into your heart, and to fulfill your purposes for us and for the world. God, I ask that during this season, as we journey towards a greater sense of our forgiveness and a deeper practice of forgiveness for others, may we know that your heart for us is abundant life in the joy and glory of yourself. We pray it all in the name of Jesus, the one in whom we are forgiven and healed and restored and made new. Amen.